Now, before I speak, I want to read out a disclaimer. before I do that, has anyone ever entered a sheep shearing contest? No? No? Well, I did last week. And the sheep didn't like me. You know why? Because they were jealous that I won. I have been well and truly shorn, haven't I? Well, I just want to read from 1 Corinthians 2, where Apostle Paul says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with the wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know, this morning, the word I bring to you is simple, it's basic. But we are depending on the Holy Spirit to come in power and encounter Him in a way that we have never done before. So it's nothing to do with us. It's with the Holy Spirit, and we welcome Him. And if He says to me as I'm speaking, step out of my way, be quiet, I will do that. So we are open to the Holy Spirit, whatever He wants to do this morning. So it's not me, it's not anybody else, it's the Holy Spirit. And we welcome Him with open arms, don't we? Yeah? So let's just say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Do whatever you want to do. Do your thing this morning. Yeah. Well, I'm going to speak, what is the Holy Spirit like? And I'm going to share about 13 symbols of the Holy Spirit this morning. And if we don't have time, I will have to skip some of them. The Holy Spirit doesn't seek to be mysterious, but He's the most mysterious in the Godhead. We can relate to God the Father because we all have earthly fathers. We can relate to God the Son because He came down to this earth in an earthly form, in an earthly body. But it is difficult to imagine what the Holy Spirit looks like because He has no shape, He has no form that we are familiar with. Most of us are familiar with some of His manifestations, like tears, laughter, joy, and trembling, shaking, falling down. But there are more things that He wants to share. He wants to have a very close and intimate relationship with us. And that's why He wants to come in other ways, you know, to show us what His personality is like, what He is like, so we get close to Him and we know Him through these symbols. Sometimes, because we are used to things the way they happen, and we can unknowingly reject the Holy Spirit because He doesn't come the way we expect Him to come. He doesn't show up like He's shown before. But if we do that, we are going to miss out on the riches that He has to bring into our lives. So let's be open to the Holy Spirit this morning. And I'm going to, at the end, if we have time, invite some testimonies, how you have encountered the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, testimonies release an atmosphere, a prophetic atmosphere, in which God can do the things that He has done before. So He can come the same way when we say, share my testimony, you'll think if God can do for her, He can do the same for me. So we will see how the time goes. First symbol of the Holy Spirit is water. Now, water is it up there? Yes, isn't that beautiful? Now, water is a precious commodity. You know, in places like Africa and Asia, this is very, very difficult for people to find water. Life cannot go on without water. But just as water is essential for our physical beings, it's essential for our spiritual lives, for our souls, for our spirit. And without the water of the Holy Spirit, we can become dry and dusty and unproductive. Because nothing grows if the water doesn't fall on the ground. So when our ground, our spiritual ground, is dry and dusty, we can invite the water of the Holy Spirit to fall on us. in the story of the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well, you know, this woman, she knew her religion so well because she was telling Jesus all about it. But Jesus said to her that the water that I give him, anyone I give, will well up into them like a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Now, after this encounter, this woman instantly became an evangelist. You know why she was coming to the well at 12 o'clock when the sun was hottest? To avoid other women. Because this woman's lifestyle was not acceptable to other people. So she was avoiding other women, came in the morning, but she came in the heat of the sun. So she could not face other people. Now, the same woman, after an encounter with the Holy Spirit, with the encounter with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, she goes and tells the whole town, come out and see. You know, once she's hiding, and now she's exposing herself to the whole town. Why could she have done without the help of the Holy Spirit? You know what happened? It tells that the Holy Spirit comes as living water. He brings life, refreshment, and satisfaction, and overflow of God's life in us. It is through the Holy Spirit we are washed, cleansed, and regenerated to the full life. That's what happened to this woman. So there's nothing more satisfying when when it's a hot day, you come in, you open the fridge, you take out cold water and drink it, and you go, ah. It's the same when we feel dry and dusty, we can come to the Holy Spirit and ask him to refresh us, like pouring that refreshing water on us. Yeah? Second symbol is dove. In Matthew 3:16, it's talking about the baptism of Jesus. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. You know, dove is associated with peace. And in this scripture, it shows that the Spirit came like a dove to impart purity, beauty, gentleness, peace. And we saw all that in Jesus, didn't we? And we also can experience that on a personal basis. How? Well, I'll just share my own experience. I was 9 years old when I came to know Jesus. We were in the boarding school. And when we went home in the summer holidays, and we hadn't realized our parents had become Christians. And, we became Christians. My sister and myself went back to the boarding school. And in the afternoon, because it was so hot, school used to finish about 1:30 after lunch. Everyone went to sleep in the afternoon. And this particular afternoon, I couldn't sleep. So I thought, I'll go and wash my clothes. And the place where you washed your clothes was far away from the dormitories. And just as I was hanging this washing, this dove out of nowhere just came, swooped on me, touched my head, and flew away. You know, at the time, I did not know the implications of it, of what had happened to me. I was only a child. But looking back, I could see that the purity of my thoughts and my conduct that followed was so stunning and so outstanding that people around me took notice. The slightest thing that was offensive to God became offensive to me. And all the teachers and matron, you know, they noticed it. And our matron, who was a very hard and difficult person to please, she would quote me as an example to other girls. So that's what the Holy Spirit can do, you know, in us and in our personalities. Holy Spirit is also known as wine. Wine. in Acts 2, verses 12 to 13, it says, you know, when the 120, they were in the upper room, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the people around them said, oh, they've had too much wine. Now, when we get drunk in the Holy Spirit, our actions become the same as when you drink wine. You stagger, you laugh, you're full of joy, and you feel the burdens have been lifted. And this is what happened to this crowd. It also happens in our meetings. We have experienced that, haven't we? Yes, when people are laughing and falling about, How many have experienced that? You know, when the Holy Spirit comes, you feel so different. And, well, two, 3 weeks ago, when we were looking at who is the Holy Spirit, that happened to Mary Porter. You know, she just was so God filled with that wine, she could not stop laughing. She was staggering about all over the place. In Ephesians 5:18, we are encouraged by Apostle Paul. He says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he likens the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit as drinking wine, but the results are completely different. Yeah? Excuse me. Symbol number four is rain. Holy Spirit is associated with rain. In Hosea 6:3 says, He will come to us like the winter rain, like the spring rains that water the earth. Now, in Palestine, rain comes twice a year. The early rain comes in late autumn and moistures the ground in which the farmers sow their seed. And the latter rain comes after the winter has finished, and it allows the crops to grow quickly in preparation to bring the harvest in. Rain is refreshing, cleansing. It's necessary for the harvest, for vegetation, plant life, because without the rain, nothing grows. And without the rain, the land becomes parched and barren. It is only when we receive the rain of the Holy Spirit that we too can be fruitful in our lives, and the church is able to sow and bring the harvest in. How do we experience rain? Now, a few years ago in the 90s, a few of us here, we were in another church, and there was a revival. And we used to have prayer meetings in the evening, and people, just the whole church used to turn up, and amazing things used to happen. And this particular evening, we were either on our faces on the carpet or on our backs. And I remember being on this platform along with other people on my back, and suddenly I started to hear raindrops on the roof, and it just turned into torrential rain. And then I smelt, you know, when the rain falls on the dry ground, I smelt that aroma coming. And I thought it was actually raining, because the roof was like you have in supermarkets, and you know when you go shopping and it rains and you can, it's really, really loud. It was like that. And so I started shouting, it's raining, it's raining. And one of the pastors, he heard the rain as well. And he went out and he ran his hand over the top of the cars, but it was all dry. Next morning, he rang the Met office and he said, was there a rain last night? And they said there was no rain in this area. So we heard the rain of the Holy Spirit, you know, that evening. And he is also known as a seal or a stamp. In Ephesians 1:13, we read, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now, there's a stamp of the Holy Spirit on each one of us. And that says that we belong to Him. And no one can snatch us out of His hands, because we have been marked with His seal on us. And it also proves that we are a genuine article. We are not forfeit. And it's emphasis of God's activity in our lives, His authority over us, and our security in Him. When I was working at the airport as an immigration officer, you know, every immigration office, they have a stamp. It's a stamp of authority. So you can either allow people to come into the country and refuse them entry. And once you have put your stamp on their passport and allow them to come in, what happens? They come into the country and enjoy the country. It's the same with us. And the Holy Spirit, with the stamp on us, allows us the freedom to enter God's kingdom, God's presence, and our entry into heaven and much more. You know, there is so much more that opens up for us with this stamp on us. We have the freedom. We have freedom in Christ. He also comes as, that's number six, still small voice. And my voice is going. In 1 Kings, you know, I really urge you to read 1 and 2 Kings, the stories about Elijah and Elisha. It's very, very powerful. And in 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13, Elijah, now Jezebel was wife of King Ahab, and she had appointed these prophets of Baal. But Elijah, when he offered his sacrifice to God, he killed the prophets of Baal. When Jezebel heard this, she was very angry. She wanted to kill Elijah. So he ran away and he hid in a cave. So God spoke to him and he said to him, come out and stand on the mountain because I'm going to pass by. So the first, there was a powerful wind that tore the mountains apart, but God was not in it. Then there was an earthquake and God was not in it. Then there was fire, but the Lord was not in it. And then there came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard that, he pulled his cloak over his face because he knew it was God speaking. So it's the Holy Spirit who is the still small voice which speaks inside of us, bringing direction and bringing revelation of God's word. You know, how many times we have experienced Holy Spirit. When we've asked, Holy Spirit, I don't know whether to take this job. I don't know whether I should see this person. I don't know whether I should do this or do that. And sometimes, you know, when you've lost something and you can't find it, and you say, and you've looked everywhere, and you get so desperate and say, Holy Spirit, show me where it is. And even though you have looked in that place before and you couldn't see it there, but then the Holy Spirit says, go and look there, and you go and find it. Yeah. That is the still small voice within us speaking to us. You know, sometimes we obey that voice. Sometimes we don't. Because in the meetings, Holy Spirit comes and says to you and says, go and share this word or go and speak to that person. And sometimes we obey, other times we chicken out. And then when the Holy Spirit gives the same word to somebody else, and they stand up and give it, and we kick ourselves, don't we? Well, that happened to me two, three weeks ago when Val Simcock was speaking. And before she came up, God was, you know, just stirring up within me, and share this. And I thought, no, I'm not going to go up. And when Val stood up and said those things, and I thought, oh no, what an encouragement. It would have been for Val a confirmation if I had stood before her and said all those things that she was going to speak about. So that happens, you know, but the good thing is not to chicken out and be brave and come up. And however doubtful you are, you know, whether is it me, is it the Holy Spirit? We do that all the time, don't we? But just come up. Even if it's a mistake, God can correct our mistakes. God can bless other people through our mistakes as well. Number seven, and looking at time as well, he's also known as finger of God. The example of this we see in Matthew 12:28 and in Luke 11:20. When the Pharisees accused Jesus of driving out demons by Satan, Jesus said, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. So it's the finger of God. We don't have any power of our own against Satan, but with God on our side, with his finger on our lives, with his power, we can stand against the enemy and all his devices. And we have the greatest power with Holy Spirit in us, on our side, to bring down the strongholds of the enemy. And so just rely. Let's rely on the finger of God. You know, sometimes we pray for people and you just feel directed to put your finger on their head. Why is that? Because I think that's the Holy Spirit directing you and saying, yes, I'm using your finger as my finger. Yeah? So number eight, he's known as deposit or guarantee. In Yeah, somebody's depositing something there. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Holy Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When we go through different stages of house buying, you know how nervous we are, whether the house is going to be ours or not, till the stage when you have put the deposit on the house. Then you know it's going to be 99.9%. You know that it's going to be ours. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is a deposit in us for things to come. You know, and so we shouldn't just be satisfied with the deposit, because there's a bigger house, bigger thing to come. You know, the whole house can be ours, because that's just a deposit in us. And it's the Holy Spirit is a pledge of full and total salvation. We know that our salvation is not complete while we are on this earth, but we are working with the power and the help of the Holy Spirit towards that completion till Jesus returns for us. And so, yes, he's a deposit in us, and we can be sure of that. Number nine, he is also known as mantle. Mantle is like a cloak that covers your whole body. What's happening to the lights? well, you can, as I said, we can read the whole story in 1 and 2 Kings about Elijah and Elisha. Thank you, Craig. Thank you. And we can read the story in 2 Kings. When God said to Elijah that Elisha was to succeed him as a prophet, Elijah went up to Elisha and threw his mantle over him while he was plowing his father's field. This meant that Elijah was designating Elisha as his successor. He was passing on his ministry, his authority, his anointing to Elisha to become a prophet of Israel. So later on, when Elijah asked Elisha, "What would you like me to do before I'm taken up?" You know, he was taken up to heaven in whirlwind alive. And he said, "Tell me what you want me to do." And Elisha said, "I would like double portion of your anointing." You know, that is the heart of someone who's God really separated into himself. And Elijah's cloak was a symbol of heavenly clothing that dressed and equipped Elisha for ministry as a prophet. God always equips us with heavenly power, heavenly authority, enablement, and his grace to do the job that he calls us to do. You know, we can never do it in our strength. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us. And in the New Testament, it's done through laying on of hands. You read, you know, how apostles laid hands on people and set them apart, and it's, which is called impartation. But if you feel today God is calling you to a ministry, to do something for him, then go to someone and ask them to lay their hands on you and pray for you. Someone probably who's carrying the same kind of calling or the same kind of ministry, and ask them to anoint you and lay their hands on you and pray for you. Because that becomes a mantle, that becomes an impartation and passing on of that anointing. Number 10, Holy Spirit is known as fruits. And we've got strawberries. In Exodus 23:19, it says, "Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God." Now, first fruits were a sign of full harvest, which was to follow. And in Romans 8:23, it says, "But we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Do you want an inkling into incredible riches God has in store for you? Well, the Holy Spirit is a sign to us that we have yet to see and to understand the full implications and blessings of being a Christian. You know, we've only tasted a little bit. There's more, much more. And the reason I'm sharing these symbols with you today is that the Holy Spirit is what we might, move into the symbols that Holy Spirit wants to express himself through, that we may not just be satisfied with first fruits, but know everything that he has to offer. Everything, every way we can experience him in all these symbols. Not just be satisfied with laughter or falling, but experience all these symbols. So he's got much, much more than we know and expect. Number 11, his fire. Matthew 3:11 says, I baptize you, and this is John the Baptist speaking, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we see the fulfillment of this in Acts 2, as we read that the 120 who were there, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. Now, this Acts 2 is reminiscent of burning bush on Mount Sinai, from which God spoke to Moses, just as after this experience, God sent Moses to deliver Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. Now, God was baptizing the believers in Jerusalem with fire to go and free people from Satan's bondage and from religious strongholds and bring them into the freedom of Christ. So you see the similarities of fire, what first. So, and also God commanded us as well, go and make disciples of all nations. And that's when we are filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. So why the baptism of fire? You know, firstly, fire is purging, refining, and cleansing. The Holy Spirit fire comes to work something deep into the substance of our lives that will shape things around us, that will change things around us. And as fire, the Holy Spirit probes the inner recesses of our life and refines us as silver and gold is refined in the fire. And it cleanses us of all dross, and we become all shiny like silver and gold for the glory and service of God. Because with the dross on us, you know, people can't see the gold. They can't see the shine. So that's why sometimes fire comes to refine us. And Holy Spirit fire tempers our personality. He imparts boldness, zeal, and passion for God. You know, Peter, the apostle and disciple of Jesus, he was so scared of people that, you know, at Jesus' trial, he denied him. He said, no, I don't know him, because he was scared. But look what happened when after the baptism of fire on the day of Pentecost. Now, this same man who was hiding from people and who was denying Jesus, he stands up in front of thousands of people in Jerusalem and he declares Jesus as Christ, as the Messiah, and with boldness. And you know what happened? The same day, 3,000 people came to put their trust in Jesus Christ. They became saved. And that was the fire of the Holy Spirit in Peter that changed him, that brought boldness and courage and strength and passion and zeal. You know, that fire. We need that fire in us, don't we? We need that fire in our bodies so we are not held back, you know, with our insecurities or anything, but go out and tell people, you know, and let bring people into the kingdom of God. Saul was a violent persecutor of the church. But the same Paul became Paul, the apostle. Saul became apostle, Paul apostle, and a passionate servant of Jesus who turns many Jews and Gentiles to Jesus. Well, I could go on. But if you want to become bold and courageous like Peter and Paul, then ask God for a baptism of fire. I would like to share this experience. You know, as I said, I was 9 years old, and when we went from boarding school to in summer holidays home, my mum and dad used to have prayer meeting in our house every evening. This particular evening, now we were very naive because we had never seen anything before. We had never been taught. This was a brand new experience for all of us. So we didn't know what was happening. And my mum saw these flames of fire on people, and all on the jackets and coats where people had hung them. And she didn't know what was. So she was trying to put the fire out. And it was only much, much later when we received teaching and knowledge and understanding, we realized it was the Holy Spirit fire. And that's the reason I'm sharing these. So we are not ignorant of what the Holy Spirit wants to do and what he wants to bring to us and not reject it out of not knowing. So it is important. And number 12, Holy Spirit, I've still got my eye on the time. Number 12, he is also known as wind. Wind is a powerful force. We cannot contain it or control it. Similarly, we cannot control the Holy Spirit. We cannot put him in a box. His nature is powerful. His ways are unpredictable. He's like an untamed lion. And yet, he can come as a gentle dove. The more pronounced his presence, the more unique the manifestation of our God encounters become. And just as we cannot see the wind, but we can feel and see its effects, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. You know, we cannot see him, but we can see what he's doing. So look at some of the examples in the Bible. In Genesis 2:7, we read, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man, which was Adam, became a living being." So God just breathed his breath into him. And in Hebrew, this word wind is translated ruah, and in Greek is translated as pneuma, which both means wind as well as breath. In John 3:8, we hear or read about Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night and asked him how he could enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to him, "Unless you are born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God," right? So this being born by the Spirit of God, the breath of God, the wind of the Holy Spirit, is not like natural birth where you can see the baby being born or where you can check the clock for the time of its arrival. The work of the Holy Spirit breathes life into us, and something inspires or transpires that people cannot see. And there is dynamism, but also a gentleness. It is like a wisp of breeze. You cannot see where it comes from or where it goes, but all of us can attest to times when the Holy Spirit breathed life into us. Yeah? We don't know how. People can't see it because it's internal. It's happening inside. That's why Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," because it's happening in our hearts. It's happening within our hearts and in our souls, and it's changing us. And we have changed, but outwardly we remain the same. You know, you can't say that now you look, because you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you look totally different. Yes, different in the sense there's glory, there's shine on your face and the presence of God on you. So you see, the same wind, the ruah of God that brings spiritual life as well as physical life as in Adam, and spiritual life as Jesus said, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, that you will become a new person. And thirdly, he's a gentle breeze. In 1 Kings, as I've already shared, that Elijah the prophet who ran away from Jezebel, he heard the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And we also find that sometimes in the meeting, when the Holy Spirit comes in a gentle way, we feel his gentle presence all over us. There may be quiet tears flowing. There may be tears of joy of his presence, tears of thankfulness for what he's done for us, tears of God's peace filling our beings. Just gentle, quiet whisper touching our innermost being. Have you experienced that? Many times, haven't we? You just don't want to move away from that. And when that happens to you, you don't want anyone to come and speak to you or touch you, and you don't want to hear, you just want to enjoy that quiet presence of the Holy Spirit. And fourthly, he's known as the rushing wind, as we know in Acts 2. Now, this rushing wind experience in Acts 2 was reminiscent of wind that blew over the waters at the beginning of creation, as we read in Genesis 1, chapter 1 and 2. The wind that breathed life into creation was now breathing life into his church. And wow, how wonderful and how powerful that life that spilled over into the streets of Jerusalem and caught the attention of the whole world. The Holy Spirit, as sovereign God, is dynamic, irresistible, and unstoppable. Now, this is something also we experienced when Di, myself, and another friend, we were on holiday in France. And every morning we used to sit in the balcony, and before breakfast, we used to read and pray together. And this particular morning was absolutely quiet, no breeze, no nothing, no leaves moving, absolutely quiet. And just as we said, "Come, Holy Spirit," whoosh, this wind came over us, swirled over us, and then disappeared. And then everything went absolutely quiet. We were taken aback, you know, we were amazed, we were scared, and we thought, "Oh, what's happened?" And then we realized it was the Holy Spirit who came, because we said, "Come, Holy Spirit." So when we invite him, he's not going to hold back. You know, he will come. So whichever way you want to experience him, invite him. Come as oil, come as fire, come as dove, come as wind, and he will come. You know, because he will fulfill his promises. God's promises are that I will be with you. And the Holy Spirit, as a parakletos, which means someone who comes alongside you, he will come when you ask him to. And also, wind is, as I said, known as the breath of God. In Ezekiel 37, we read of the valley of dry bones. Now, these dry bones were the house of Israel, who said, "Our bones have dried up and our hope is gone." Now, you can't get any more despondent than that. You have no hope and your eyes are, you know, your bones are dry. But God said to Ezekiel to prophesy over those dry bones. He prophesied as God commanded, and then an amazing thing happened. Breath entered those sun-bleached dry bones, and they came to life, stood up on their feet, a vast army. Wow, wow, wow. You know, that's the breath of God. That can do for us. And, you know, no matter how dry the bones are, God can breathe life into them. So today, if you feel like these dry bones, then allow the wind of the Holy Spirit, the life-giving breath of God, to blow over whatever is dead in your life. And God will, I promise you, if you allow the wind of the Holy Spirit, that brings life, whatever is dead, any dead dreams, any dead situation, I promise you, it will come back to life. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that in your life. And the wind of the Holy Spirit will fill your sails and carry you out powerfully into the depths of what God has planned for you. He will do that. Trust the breath and life-giving power of God. You know, whatever situation you are in today, allow the breath of God to breathe life into that situation. And I'm saying that to each one of you. Don't be just shortchanged. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy who says it can't happen. It can happen, because it's the breath of God that brings life into every situation. And lastly, number 13, Holy Spirit is known as oil. Oil is widely understood as a symbol of Holy Spirit, so I won't go into much explanation. But why oil? I'll just share with you what oil represents. It represents consecration. In the Old Testament, when a king or a priest was chosen to represent his people, oil was poured over their heads to show they are anointed, consecrated, ordained and set apart for God to fulfill their calling. In Exodus 29, it gives detailed explanation of this process, but in short, God said to Moses, take the anointing oil when he was choosing Aaron as his priest. And he says, take the anointing oil and anoint Aaron by pouring it on his head. In 1 Samuel 10:1, when Saul was chosen as king of Israel, Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? And then again, Samuel anointed David with oil as the next king of Israel. And David himself in Psalm 23, verse 5 says, you anoint, that's God, you anoint my head with oil. He recognized the anointing of God on his life. And there are several other examples throughout the Bible. Even today, when people are set apart to serve God, sometimes they are anointed with oil. Isaiah 61, we are all familiar with. It says, Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And Jesus quoted that for himself in the New Testament. Yeah. And again, I have to share my experience with you. In the 90s revival, you know, when the Holy Spirit was moving, I was sort of quite concerned whether the signs that we saw, whether they were of God or whether they are from devil, you know. And I was questioning it and saying, Holy Spirit, show me. And then, as I shared before, when I read the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, and I said, just come, like you come on Benny Hinn. Come on me as well, please. And, you know, I used to in the night have this tingling in my head, on my head, and then this something pouring. And I thought it was sweat. And I would run my fingers through my head, but they would be dry. And I thought, what's happening? I don't know. And so I'd be sitting in the meeting, and my head would tingle, and then this dripping thing. And so I spoke to one of the leaders, and she said, she laughed, and she said, the Holy Spirit is anointing you with oil. And I said, oh, really? And, you know, it's after that experience, that East-West group we had, through which many people from different religious background came to know Jesus, that happened after that. And so the Lord anoints you, you know, and you can have that experience of that anointing, pouring of oil on your head. And so oil symbolizes healing. It has healing properties as well. It was used in olden times to pour over wounds, as in the story of Good Samaritans. In James 5:14 says, if anyone is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil. We may not always have physical wounds, but most of us carry emotional wounds. You know, wounds of rejection, of abandonment, of loss, of relationships, loss of people that we love through death. And so there are so many different emotional scars or wounds we carry. We may not even be always aware of them, and or may have even learned to cope with them. You know, sometimes we learn to cope with our pain. But these wounds could be a great hindrance in forming relationships with people and also with God. So we can ask the Holy Spirit to pour that healing oil into these wounds and seal them so we can be whole this morning. We can do that. We've got, you know, if you would like to, at the end, like to come and be anointed with oil, then we've got oil and the team will come and pray for you and help you through that. And also he's known as the oil of joy or gladness. He comes as the oil of gladness. In Isaiah 61:2-3 says, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning. Well, Jesus was anointed with joy, wasn't he? He was a very joyful person, and that's why people wanted to be with him, and they used to walk miles to be with him, because he was a very joyful person. But if you feel your joy is gone, then simply ask the Holy Spirit to fill you again with gladness, with joy. Mary, as I've said before, she experienced that joy a few weeks ago, and it was so overwhelming that everyone saw what was happening to Mary, because she got so filled with that oil of joy that day. So to conclude, we can encounter the Holy Spirit as water, dove, wine, rain, seal or stamp, still small voice, finger of God, deposit, mantle, first fruits, fire, wind and oil. And as I said at the beginning, we are going to create some time for testimonies. Just very short, one or two sentence testimony, how you have encountered the Holy Spirit, because it's going to be an encouragement for others. And they will say, well, if that person encountered the Holy Spirit this way, maybe I can too. And then after that, we are going to play a song. It's called Fall Afresh. And Ian Moody played that a week last Saturday when we had a team away day. And I tell you, there's the anointing, and that song was incredible. We all got zapped, didn't we? When we heard and just enjoyed the presence of the Holy Spirit.